Mr. Secretary Sherwell, Deacon Nesha, I'd like to serve you as a priest dying very soon. It's now time to start finding the seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? My name is Cynthia Schroebel Zaponia Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as priest there very soon. It's a privilege and honor to introduce to you Cynthia Schroebel now entering the sanctuary. Now I'd like to turn it over to our first speaker, Cynthia Schroebel Yahab Hawkins.
Blessed Lord, everyone, may all be seated, may peace be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Yahweh's Sabbath to Yahweh's Marks. There are many Sabbaths which we must learn to keep. The weekly Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Keeping the seventh day Sabbath and the feast day shows whom you belong to. It's the mark of Yahweh. Please turn to Exodus 31, 13 through 15, found on page 71. And it says, speak also to the children. To the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for they are a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on that day, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days your work shall be done, but the seventh day is Yahweh's Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on that Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Satan hates Yahweh's Sabbath and feast days. Satan hates Yahweh's Sabbath and feast days. He entices you to follow her on holidays. If she can get you to listen to her lies and deceptions, you are following her mark and Yahweh's mark you are rejecting. Please turn to Romans 6:16, found on page 878. And it says, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey his servants are whom you obey, whether of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? So if you obey Satan, we belong to her, and if you obey Yahweh, we belong to him. Please turn to Colossians 2:16, found on page 926. And it says, Therefore let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the observance of a feast day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Positive Law 154. The seventh day of the week is Yahweh's Sabbath of rest and the holy convocation. Please turn to Ezekiel 20, verse 12 to 20, found on page 641. And it says, moreover, I also give them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, so that they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. And hollow, make holy my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, so that you may know that I am Yahweh your Father. In the 8th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 30, verses 120-121, it says, the mark of Yahweh is on your right hand, and the mark of Yahweh is on your right hand and in your forehead. The Sabbath is on your right hand and in your mind. You cease from your work with your hands, and of course you do Yahweh's work. That's the mark of Yahweh to accept. Their mark is totally out of here for you. It is plain and clear. It's Sunday keeping in rebellion against the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day shows obedience to Yahweh, rejection of the Sabbath, and keeping Sunday. No matter how you keep Sunday, whether you go boating, skiing, or all these good things that get you killed that they urge you to do, you're breaking Yahweh's Sabbaths, and you're disobedient to Yahweh. So you either got the mark of Yahweh by keeping Sunday and the pagan holidays, or rejecting the Sabbath, or you got to be obedient to Yahweh, recorded here in your brain. Let's all make sure we stay obedient to Yahweh. We must not keep Sunday and the pagan holidays, but instead we need to keep all Yahweh's Sabbaths so we will have his mark. May God bless your understanding. I'd like to turn to Sunday's labor to prayer.
For our speakers this morning, I'll turn the service over to Deacon Hedidia.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Turn to Yahweh While You Can. Turn to Yahweh While You Can. And many warnings have been sent out to the people of this world. And the warnings have been sent out telling them that the problems that they see on the news, the problems, the curses, the arguing, the diseases that they see on the news, and the famine, the reason why these things are occurring is because Yahweh's laws are constantly being broken. So, therefore, the love of many has grown cold, and the love of many will continue to grow cold as long as Yahweh's laws continues to be broken. But, really, Satan's plan is to put an end to mankind by ruining the earth and all life that's in it. And she wants to destroy Yahweh's plan through her war and strife. And in Matithiah 24, chapter 7, it's on page 725, if you want to turn there. And it says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine and pestilence, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. And you can see that these are the things that are occurring and going on in the world today. And the people are wondering, why are these things occurring? Why do I have these curses? Why do I have these diseases? And it's because the breaking of Yahweh's laws, and because they rejected Yahweh, and because they rejected and accepted Satan's way of life, or Satan's way, which is God worship, and because their minds are blind and they can't understand the way of Yahweh. So this is the reason why they're bringing nuclear war on themselves. And in Deuteronomy 28, a warning was brought by the prophet Moshe, and it was about the nuclear war, or the wars that would be occurring in this time period. And it's in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it's on page 169. And it says, This day Yahweh your Father commands you to serve and do these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. And this is what Yahweh tells the people, commands us to do, right? Practice his laws. And Deuteronomy, go over to 22. Actually, 28:15, and it says, however, if you do not obey Yahweh, your Father, and do not carefully follow all his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and accompany you. And these curses are accompanying the people of this world today because they chose to worship Satan instead of Yahweh. And they chose to serve Satan instead of Yahweh. In verse 22, and it's on page 170, in verse 22, it says, Yahweh will strike you with consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with scorching heat, with the sword, with blasting, and with mildew. They will stay with you until you perish. And remember in Genesis, it says, dying you will die. And these curses are going to come upon the people because they rejected Yahweh's way and they turned to Satan. They wanted their own way. But I want to read you something from a newsletter. It's 2018, and it's entitled, Why Die, Why Not Live? And Pastor writes here, it says, there is a way to truly enjoy living, unlike the miserable life that is being endured today, but never really enjoyed. There is a way, or there is always anticipation and looking forward to an event of some kind. However, when it arrives, the disappointment, regret, and even sorrow makes the people start seeking another way of escape from their reality, which they are unable to face. And it says, in this generation, the worst of everything has come or has become present. All right, the worst of everything has become present, and the people are realizing this through the news and through the things that they're suffering. So the worst of everything has become present. Everyone's life filled with uncertainty, such as finances and job market, the food supply, terrorist groups, murders, molestation, and rape of children and adults alike, war, and now nuclear war, which is actually a certainty. And it says the change of the world, or the chance of the world surviving at this time is zero. It's hard to understand why mankind will not repent. It's even harder to comprehend why 4,199 religions will not repent of the cause of all the above atrocities. Yes, there is a cause for every effect. There is a cause for every effect, and the cause is because they broke the laws of Yahweh. And Yahweh said, if you keep my laws, these things will not come upon you. But if you don't keep my laws, these things will come upon you. And Yahweh's prophet Yekeskiah was inspired to write the following, or concerning the way to life and the way to death. Yekeskiah 18, it's on page 639. And it says, behold, all souls are mine, just as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it will die. So notice there it says, the soul that sins, it will die. So Yahweh told us, and he warned us that if we sin, dying, you will die. But if you keep my laws, you'll have eternal life. But turn to Yahweh while you can. And with that, if y'all please stand, I'll turn it over to Deacon Yada Kimball Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Guess I better get right in on this. I was told if I could speak 300 words a minute, I'd get a lot done. So let's turn over to the book of Revelations and chapter 10, verse 7. And the heading is, when the seventh trumpet sounds. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, which is Israel Hawkins, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. And I'll cover a couple of things that was covered a couple of Sabbaths ago by the great Benjamin Krause Hawkins and the greatest teacher, Israel Hawkins. And the great Kahn spoke on the prophecies, which are 100% accurate from Yahweh, and what they are. And a couple of words here I want you all to concentrate on is depopulation, drought, famines, pandemic infections, STDs are spreading, and plagues all around. And plagues, on the online dictionary, a contagious bacterial disease, sometimes infection in the lungs. And from dictionary.com, an infectious epidemic disease caused by bacterium. And if you notice, they all intertwine with one another. And then when our greatest teacher, the seventh messenger, Israel Hawkins, spoke about the different kind of polio, it's a bovine polio. Let me just show you a picture. I like pictures. This is... Can I get that all the way up there? That's bovine tuberculosis in the white-tailed deer. And I've heard things, you know, said, but yes, it's here too. And he went on further saying that the bovine polio causes by viruses. Viruses is a combination that gets into man, is called prions. A false protein is caused by STDs that was put into animals by rape. And then let me pull that one out there. Oh, I lost that one. There we go. In The Real Cause of Global Warming, Chapter 3, Verse 105, it's an awesome book. I hope everybody's reading it or has read it, and please go over it again. Zoonotic diseases brought to the human race due to bestiality. Most people don't realize that gentle chlamydia, gonorrhea, even trich, can we see that? Trichomoniasis flagellate infection originated from livestock. Gonorrhea and chlamydia are often seen with cows. And the prion, the deer are carrying up north, okay? Prions attack the nervous system. That's the latest polio attack. And it attacks the nervous system. And I got an article here. It's from the CDC investigation polio-like conditions. The Center of Disease Control for Prevention is concerned about polio-like conditions with 38 reported cases nationwide this year in 16 states. And if you notice, I don't know if we can zoom in on that, but the date there is this month, the 13th of this year. And the conditions that affect a person's nervous system, specifically the spinal cord, the neurological conditions, like it has a variety of cases such as viruses, environmental toxins, and genetic disorders. So when it affects the nervous system, so we know it's part of chlamydia, which causes lesions, which wherever it goes in your body, it causes lesions, which lets viruses and microorganisms into your bloodstream. And we see this in this same disease. And that's talking about the... bovine. Here's another picture. This is lesions, but this is tuberculosis. It's inside and out. I thought I'd show the one that's on the outside so y'all can have a pretty decent look at it. Pretty gross. This stuff is really serious, And this is the kind of things that we do not want in the meat supply of any kind. Let me give you the definition of tuberculosis or TB. It's a contagious infection that usually attacks the lungs. It can also spread to other parts of the body, like the brain and the spine. And how it spread? Through the air. Remember, the great witness always told us that it's airborne, just like the cold or the flu. When someone who sneezes, coughs, talks, laughs, or even sings, you spread it. They are trying to make out like they are trying to find or sure cure in just a little while. And you know something? Back in 06, in the sixth book of Israel, it was 12:30-06. I haven't got time right now to go over that, but it's chapter 41, verses 4 through 6. If anybody has that, they could read that. It's very interesting on how it ties in what Pastor was talking about back then until now. This warning here, to be sure to have your wild deer tested, even if you can't find any kind of sickness, be sure you have them tested before you consume them. And right here is a quick article. And this is the 12th of this month of this year. And this is at Cedar Park, Texas, which is only 3 hours away. Okay? It's here in this state also. So now you can't get away from it. I got a few things highlighted here, but I'll cover that hopefully the next time I get to speak. But be careful when you hunt. And right now, if you'd all please stand. I'd like to introduce the great Con Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, we're going to get right into it. Rejoice, because the house of Yahweh is established and able in these last days. That'll be the title of my speech. Can we have the first slide, please? I want to remind you of some work that was done a few weeks ago regarding the seven-lamp lampstand and the first work of Abel, and some of the gematria that was brought out, and also the quotes from The Birth of the Nuclear Baby, where Pastor says, Abel's work was started in the land that later became known as Israel. A town was named after him, Abilene, Israel, or Abel, or Ibeline. But the city of Abilene was there before the territory was ever called Israel. 1 Samuel 6:18 was translated in the King James Version as the Great Stone of Abel. And as you can see, some of the gematria from Abilene, Israel, 1074. Of course, we know this is Pastor's tag number. The Priest of Peace at Abel, 1074. Righteous City, 1074. And Yahweh honors Abel. These were brought before, but it's just a reminder. Can I have my next slide? Pastor taught us in the seventh book of Israel, part 1, chapter 11, where he says, Moshe did not write Genesis. Abel and his crew wrote Genesis, and it was preserved by Noah. Abel wrote Genesis, 1074. Abel's crew wrote it, 1074. Noah preserved it, 1074, backing the teachings of 1074, okay? This is showing that Yahweh's in full control and that Yahweh uses this man, 1074, this work, this last work, which is known as 1074 from the beginning, as we're going to see. Can I have my next slide? And you remember the gematria of all the works, the seven works from Abel. You had Abel, Melchizedek, Abraham, Moshe, Yahshua, Messiah, Yaakov Hawkins, and Israel Abel Hawkins, the golden seven-lamp lampstand. And you remember that gematria is 1074, okay? Showing the work of Yahweh from the beginning to the end. Can we have my next slide? If you remember also about Abel from the house of Yahweh established on page 28, which is one of Pastor's lot numbers, Abel was known as a keeper of sheep, which is word number 7462, which means a teacher of virtue. And that word virtue means the quality of moral righteousness or excellence. Okay? And remember, we have a peaceful solution building moral excellence unit following the pattern of Abel. Abel taught the peaceful solution as well. And then he says, a keeper of sheep is a teacher of righteousness. Now, if you notice, virtue above all, 1893. And 1893 is one of the words of Abel, meaning Abel. It's used in Genesis 4, throughout Genesis 4, that word number 1893, referring to the second son of, the second son of Adam and Eve, Abel. What a coincidence, right? Now, next slide. And remember, there's a rule, a prophetic rule, that which has already been will be yet again. That which has already been done is what will be done yet again. There's nothing new under the sun. And is there anything of which it may be said, look, this is new? It has already been in ancient times well before us. And if you take that phrase, look, this is new, you'll see that no, it's not. 1074 has been from the beginning, okay? And it started with Abel and Abeline, okay? And we're gonna prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt today. Can I have my next slide? So you had the original Abel at Abel. And who is the last Abel? Well, look at the numbers. They'll tell you. 1074. Can I have my next slide? Let's look at the meaning of Abeline. Some of the meanings of Abeline from the House of Yahweh established, page 73 and 79, you have the right time has come. Bring, O Yahweh, we pray, bring. Abeline also means the place of gathering. You know, in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about our gathering to the King, Yahshua Messiah, here in Abeline. And then Abel means bring, to be brought, and bride. Okay, and he gives Isaiah 43, 5 through 9 as scriptural references. Okay, now let's go to the next slide. Recently, just about a couple months ago, some archaeologists, dug up, this is in the 9/17/2018, archaeologists find signs of 3,000-year-old oracle cult in ancient Israel. Speaking of Abel of Beth Makah, was famed in biblical times for conflict resolution. Now archaeologists have found a strange shrine that may have served the city's wise woman. Now remember 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 18. Remember the woman, the wise woman that said they used to ask at Abel? Let's look there. Turn over to 2 Samuel 20, 2018. That should be easy, right? Where it says 2018 now, right? So it's easy to remember. 2018, she said, then she spoke, saying, they used to speak long ago, saying, to receive an answer, ask it Abel, and that would settle a matter. That's this wise woman here that this article is referring to. Can I have my next slide? So another word in Hebrew, 59 Abel, is what's used here throughout 1 Samuel 6:18 and also 2 Samuel chapter 20. That word Abel there is word number 59. Now, if you notice, if you put Abel Beth Makah in Hebrew gematria, you come up with 590. Now, remember my rule? Drop the zero. And you have what? Yeah, you have 59. You have Abel. And 59 is Abeline. Notice? 59 is Abeline, 1074. Can I have my next slide? Remember the work we did on the highways, that Yahweh's exalted these highways to show that they tie in to the witness. This highway goes through Oklahoma and Texas. Notice 59 existed in what year? 1934. Wow, what a coincidence, right? The same year the witness was born, right? And then Highway 83, which runs right through here all the way to Brownsville through Laredo and other places, starts up in the Canadian border. It's 1,894 miles, and 1894 in Strong's is from 1893, which we just read about, Abel. What a coincidence, right? All these coincidences. Can I have my next slide? Now, this Abel of Beth Makah, this Beth means house, as we know. But this word Makah is interesting. It's word number 4601 from 4600, and it means to press and squeeze. Ever feel that? You ever felt that at this house? Some pressing and squeezing going on? And if you remember, the word tribulation means the same thing. It means pressing. Pressing together, pressure. And notice, the house of pressure, 1260. How long will this greatest tribulation be? 1260, right? To press and squeeze is 1260 as well. And you remember the announcement of the Jerusalem embassy move was on 12-6, drop the zero. You remember that? Something to think about, right? Well, let me give you something else to really think about here. Did you know that Yahweh put pastor's tag on the earth? On the earth, in the earth. Can I have my next slide? The city of Abel. Look how high above sea level it is. 1074? Oh, really? The same city spoken of here, that is speaking of here in 2 Samuel. Okay, Abel Beth Makah, or also known as Abel and Abel Beth Makah, 1074 feet above sea level. That's from their Bible commentary. I didn't write the Bible commentary. Okay, and why would they put that number in there? It's for you, House of Yahweh, because you believe, right? Oh, it gets better. But keep that in your mind. Don't forget that. 1074 feet above sea level. And our teacher stood there one day, along with some other recorders that went with him to Abilene, Israel. And they surveyed some land, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. Can I have my next slide? Now notice, the House of Yahweh established, page 27, shows that the Internal Revenue Service of the U.S., the chief nation of all nations, officially recognized the establishment of the House of Yahweh on 2-4-83. Now remember 2 Samuel 20:18. To receive an answer, ask at Abel, right? It wasn't that they used to speak long ago. It was a law from the beginning, is what she's saying. It was a law from the beginning that to receive an answer, ask at Abel, and that would settle a matter. Now notice, 2 Samuel 20:18 in Gematria, 2483? Isn't that when it was established? The House of Yahweh in these last days? Wow, what a coincidence. The coincidences are just piling, aren't they? They're piling up. You'd be a fool not to believe this. That word 1734 in the middle, I don't have time, but it means beloved Yeshurun. It means beloved. All right. I'll give you some more evidence. Can I have my next slide? The House of Yahweh established 1983. Recognize that number? 3072, Yahweh's Zitkanu. And notice 512, Yahweh's in full control. 3072, Yahweh's Zitkanu. Yahweh's Zitkanu in Gematria is 1074. Right? Remember, it's coded. It's encoded in these books. Can I have my next slide? Here's a picture of the greatest teacher on earth surveying, standing in Abilene, Israel, on 12-10-03 with a group of city leaders there, looking at the land and surveying the future Peaceful Solutions school campus. Can I have my next slide? Here's another picture of him with several members of the Abilene Council on 12/10/2003. Very important date in history, by the way, as you're going to learn. Here's another picture of a collage of pictures. Next slide. Showing the negotiating of the local location of the Peaceful Solutions School in Abilene, Israel. Elevation what? Come on, I can't hear you. Are you not sure of that? You got to go look in the Bible commentary because it's there. I didn't put it there. We didn't put it there. This man was standing there. And they promised this man that land for a school, 10 acres, for a Peaceful solution school. You think that's not going to take place? Who's going to inherit the land, House of Yahweh? Woo, yeah. Oh, let's look at some more proof. Can I have my next slide? Pastor said, next slide, please. It says, in the third book of Israel, chapter 22, verse 44, he says, they were wearing tallits at that time in Abilene, Israel. This is some stuff that Elder Yehuda will bring you in detail, showing you in detail that all the prophets were taught in the land of Israel, in Abilene, Israel, in that peaceful valley there. You see the peaceful valley? 1074? Okay? Well, I want you to remember that because there's another peace. Remember, the last Abel is going to be established somewhere else. And I'm going to prove to you, you're sitting in it. Can I have my next slide? Now that number 1210 should ring a bell. He was there on 12/10/03. And you remember on 12/10/2014, someone's face was seen in a wave off the coast of Scotland, named Israel Hawkins. And that word 1210 means grape gathering, to gather or gathers. And remember, Abilene means the place of gathering, right? Let's go to the next slide. The first mention of Abel, now remember, Abel is hidden. It's hidden in a lot of places throughout the scriptures, and it begins in Genesis. But that word Abel that I showed you, 59, the first place it's used is in 1 Samuel 6:18. And it talked about the golden rats represented the number of all the cities of the five rulers of the Philistines, the fortified cities with their country villages, Abel, the great house of Yahweh, where they set the ark of Yahweh as a witness to this day. Okay, now, from the time that was written in 1140 BY to the day or the time, the year that Pastor stood there was 3,143 years. And notice, 3143 means Yahweh, it's 3050, and then it goes to 3427, meaning to establish, habitation, bring again, you know, like the next Abel, bring again to, and remember those people that were brought there to Israel, looking at great Khan Sheol was there, spoke to him about it, he was one of the recorders, one of the witnesses that was there. Notice also it means peaceful, like the peaceful valley, remember? Peaceful place. And then 3143 in the Greek means to summon as a witness, to affirm, to take record and testify. From 3144, a witness, an eye or ear witness, record, witnesses. Now get this. Have my next slide. From the date of the establishment of the house of Yahweh on 2483 to 12/10/2003, when these men stood there and they were promised that land, was 7,614 days. And if you notice, 7614, it's only used in the Hebrew, and it means Sheba, and it means seven and an oath. So who was standing there? The seventh Moloch. And an oath or a promise was made of land being given to him at that time. Can I have my next slide? Gets really interesting too, because in 2 Samuel 20:14, if you remember, the whole narrative is about a man named Sheba who they were chasing. Okay, and they came to Abel. Remember, you know the rest of the story. You can read it later. But they were chasing a man named Sheba. And they came to Abel, Beth, Maacah, and all the Beerites gathered together and followed after him. And those Beerites, remember, Beerite means of the well, a tribe who are named with Abel and Beth, Maacah. Okay, that might not convince you, right? Well, maybe this will. So let's get really technical, okay? Because the house of Yahweh was established where in these last days? Where at? Come on, it's not a trick question. Abilene where? In Texas, right? Okay. And but what Abilene were they standing in on 12/10/2003? In Israel, right? So let's do this. Let's look at it with precision now, okay? Next slide. From February 4th, 83, at the establishment, to 12/10 is 7613 in 16 hours. Remember, start date in Abilene, end date in Jerusalem, because that's where they were standing, right there above Jerusalem there in the north. 7613, that may ring a bell. Let's go to the next slide. 7613 means an elevation, an elevation. As in 1074 feet above sea level, you know? It means exaltation in rank and character. It means to be accepted. It means exaltation. It means accept. It's from 5375. Remember the word NASA? And it means to accept. Honorable man, pardon, regard, respect, spare, forgive, swear. Remember that oath that was made to him? To expiate sin or to take away sin. And notice, it's the very word that Abel used in teaching Cain. Remember he said, if you do righteousness, will you not be accepted or acceptable? This was Cain or the Abel that used this very word right here, 7613 in Genesis 4:7. Wow, what a coincidence. Can I have my next slide? Now notice, it wasn't just 7,613 days. It was 20 years and 10 months. And it means an elevation. Remember, 1074 above sea level, 2010, as in 20 years and 10 months. Right? I don't know, maybe that's not enough for you. Maybe you need a little more. Can I have my next slide? What is written on that man's sash? What number's on that sash? Yeah, that's right. It's 7613. Now, where did that come from? Can I have my next slide? Down there at the peaceful scene, the peaceful valley, you know, on Abel Way, there's a van parked out there, a peaceful van at the peaceful scene, and it has the number 7613 on the tag. Okay? Can I have my next slide? The fifth book of Israel, notice what he says here. The area right here, they call it Oak Forest. This area right here. Remember, that street out there used to be called Oak Forest, but they changed it to Abel Way. He said, this area right here, they call it Oak Forest. It was a peaceful valley of farmers at one time. Okay, until the land became contaminated, etc., and it was cleansed. And he talks about these oak trees. Now notice, Oak Forest, Abel Way, 1074. The Peaceful Valley, remember, was 1074 as well, right? Okay, now watch this. Now everything's expired in the house of Yahweh, okay? You know that by now, right? Certainly you know every move this man has ever made. Yahweh's been with him every step of the way, right? Y'all know that, right? So now where does Abel Way end? It begins out here on 254, comes down the road, comes through the gate, and it ends right there at that garage door. That garage door is right here. Can you see that? The house of Yahweh established. Okay, now watch this. Can I have my last slide? The house of Yahweh established at Abel is 2022. You remember that 2022 means promotion or mountain? Now notice the sign above that. Now remember, below is written on that garage door, Isaiah 2:2, where that very word 2022 is used. The mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. Now notice, from this book right here, the house of Yahweh established on page 33 and 34, there's a scripture that they fixed for us. And it says, rejoice in front of him, all the earth. The house of Yahweh is established and able not to be moved. How do you do that, Yahweh? How did Yahweh do that? It's right there at the end of Abel Way. It says, rejoice, and the house of Yahweh established, and it's not going to be moved. Are you excited about that? The gates of hell will not prevail, house of Yahweh. So if everybody please stand. It's been a great honor and opportunity to speak to you. Don't forget, Elevation 1074. At this time, I'd like to present to you one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kahan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. Take your book of Yahweh, please, and turn to page 535. We're going to look at Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 8. There are some very nice things that have been found out. Now, I'm going to read this how it is in the King James Version. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And I'm quoting the Bible, remember? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then it says in verse 8, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Now, the word child will start with verse 6. The word child that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word yalad. This word is listed on page 569 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, Majulius First, which shows this word means a man, to appoint, to bring forth, to walk along, after conversion, a son of delight. The word son that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word ben. This word is listed on pages 214 through 216 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means a male, a disciple of the prophets, to build, to set up, to establish, the builder of the house. The word government that is written in Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7 is translated from the Hebrew word mashara. This word is listed on page 1442 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means Yisrael, to rule as Yahweh would rule. The word shoulder that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word shekamu. This word is listed on page 1383 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means burden or responsibility, to rise early, to be zealous, to be earnest. The word name that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word shemu. This word is listed on page 1402 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to change his name. Everlasting renown or remembrance. The words, the mighty God, that are written in Isaiah 9, verse 6, those words are translated from the Hebrew word ayil. This word is listed on pages 29 and 31 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means Yahweh, the eternal Father, the self-existent, unoriginated, independent, and eternal Yahweh. The word mighty that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word gabur. This word is listed on page 205 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow. It shows this word means The strength of the study of law consists in joy. Then, do you have a lot of fun keeping the law? We do. And I'm sure every one of you do too. The word prince that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word shar. This word is listed on pages 1629 and 1630 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasser, which shows this word means the Holy Spirit, that is the word of Yahweh, rested upon them. The word increase that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word marabah. This word is listed on page 1438 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasser, which shows this word means able, teacher, and pupils. Do you mind being a pupil? They're not talking about a hole in your eye either. The word throne that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word kasah. This word is listed on page 677 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means honor. The word David that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word dawad. This word is listed on page 318 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament of Julius First, which shows this word means beloved, servant of Yahweh. Honor and beloved. The word kingdom that is written in Isaiah 9 verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word mamalakatu. It sounds kind of Native American, doesn't it? This word is listed on pages 361, 362, and 364 of a lexicon, Hebrew, Chaldee, and English by Samuel Lee, which shows this word means one sent, messenger of Yahweh, a priest. Okay, the words "the Lord" are written in Isaiah 9, verses 7 and 8, are translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. We know that. But it's on page 217 to 219 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means and is the name Yahweh. So this is what Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 8 is saying. For unto us a man will be born. Behold, a man who is a zealous disciple of the prophets and who will establish the house of Yahweh has been given. This man has been given. He will change his name to Israel because he has been given the responsibility to rule as Yahweh rules. And he shall be known as the wonderful counselor of Yahweh, the everlasting Father. The words of Yahweh that speak of peace will come to him. The number of the people who will learn the ways of peace from Israel, the priest I have sent to teach the ways of peace at Abel, there shall be no end. For I will honor my beloved servant Israel, who will bring order and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Father Yahweh will perform this. For Yahweh sent these words to Jacob, and they enlightened Israel. They're your two witnesses. That is what is being told to you in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And Pastor wanted me to talk about that today, and I have done so. There will be more on it, of course. But may Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the service over to great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, a lot of these things we see in the news, they should be bringing back to our memory the things that Pastor's been bringing for years. Once again, you know, reinstituting in our mind, solidifying in our mind that the words that Yahweh's spokesman speaks are words of truth and in which a firm foundation are established. And it starts out with these drug companies and a report coming out showing how drug companies are bribing doctors to prescribe not only their drugs, but they actually have a pay rate, and it shows the pay scale where the stronger dosage you prescribe, the more money is paid. And they're actually paying them, and they're causing an addiction to the drug. And you'll see where one doctor off of one drug, doctors prescribe many drugs, off of one drug, he made $41,000 in 1 year off one drug. Now, of course, that really, as it says, it will persuade the mind of someone because of this money. You're just giving someone a prescription and you're getting paid for it. It's very easy money, but you're not considering the health of the person whatsoever. And then you have this caravan of immigrants that are coming from Guatemala up through Honduras, through Mexico. They're headed to the border in San Diego or right there in California. And keep in mind, you know, they even stated we're heading to California, not Texas, because the majority that are in California are Hispanics. So they're heading that way. They feel they'll be readily accepted there, even though President Trump has said they're going to send the military 800 to 1,000 and shut down the border. One thing to keep in mind, remember what Pastor said, form a plan of how you're going to get to the house of Yahweh. One day we're going to see caravans coming to the house of Yahweh this way, very soon. Now, what we have to keep in our mind, are we prepared to help deal with those caravans as they come? That's what we have to keep in our mind and get with our supervisors, get with what Pastor is doing, because Pastor sees far deeper in this plan than we do. So we have to tether ourselves to him and do what he says. And once we do that, we can actually create a foundation for these people to come. And also Russia. You'll see where Russia has dumped all U.S. Treasury bonds, and it said they've got them down to zero. And this is very important to understand, and we'll be bringing more on this, why you see Russia, China, other countries trying to dump the U.S. dollar. There's a lot of control when it comes to the U.S. dollar, this petrodollar, so to speak. But this dollar controls countries and how successful or how non-successful they are. But Russia dumping the dollar, now in return, the U.S. added more sanctions on Russia. And notice what they sanctioned. It's very interesting how they do it. They said that Russia used two oil containers to deliver petroleum supplies to North Korea. That broke a UN sanction. Therefore, under the United States law, they will be sanctioned. So basically, what the United States did, they sanctioned two of Russia's oil suppliers. They sanctioned them so they can't ship. But it's very important, and write it down, due to breaking a UN sanction, the United States has sanctioned them under U.S. law. And remember Revelations 13:12, where it talks about this second beast operating under the authority of the first beast. The U.S. dollar has a lot to do with that. That's why you see these countries trying to escape the dollar, and we'll bring much more on that. Also, North Korea inviting the Pope, sending an invitation through the South Korean leader to take to Pope Francis to invite him to North Korea. And then Russia making a stance. This is something that hasn't been said before, but in this disagreement in the Russian Orthodox with the Orthodox from Constantinople, which is Bartholomew, he's the one that headed that council there in Istanbul with the 10 kings. And remember, they operate under the authority of the one that sits on the seven hills. Well, Russia has said that they will defend the Russian Orthodox if need be from this accusation, from this power control struggle that's going on. And it's all to do with what they call autocephaly, which is letting Ukraine come away from the Russian Orthodox Church. They're giving them the freedom to be westernized, so to speak. Let them do what they want to do. And it has all to do with beliefs and interpretation of beliefs. And you'll hear, if you listen to the Russian Kirill, he speaks against a lot of the things that you see come forth from the Vatican. And remember, when they had the Pan Council meeting, he was one of the four that refused to go. He never went to it. Then also the United States this week was accused of dropping white phosphorus. Now, this is not the first time they've been accused. This has taken place a few times. White phosphorus in Syria. The interesting part, they dropped it on their crops and in their water. It pollutes the water and it literally burns the crops. It's like putting too much fertilizer on your crops and it destroys it. And of course, that will lead to starvation. If you have no water and you have no crops, you're going to starve. But once again, showing that this has been done, well, Syria's crying out to the UN for help. That's like crying to the dog that's biting you to go get another dog and help bite. You know, it's not going to help. You're crying out to the first beast who supports the second, who gives all the third authority to the second. It won't work. And then the U.S. announces that they will withdraw from a nuclear treaty. Now, this nuclear treaty was signed It was the Roman month of what they call December, the 8th of 1987, and this was signed between Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan, representing the former Soviet Union and the United States. And it's important to remember, because if you don't know, and I've talked to some youth, if you don't know, you won't understand. China was not part of this agreement. But when you hear President Trump say that he's calling China and Russia back to the negotiating table, well, China stood up this week and said, listen, we were never at the negotiating table. You're not talking to us. But when you listen to President Trump, he's specifically speaking to Russia and China. And he even says they can take the threat. If they want to take it as a threat, it's a threat to them. But he's specifically speaking to two countries. Malachi Martin spoke of Russia and China joining together. China is not part of the quartet, but they are in that fourth part of the earth. And when they tether themselves to Russia, they're tethering themselves to a member of the quartet. So remember that. Then NATO holds drills, the largest drills since the Cold War. They've just held them. They held them in Norway. And they actually, what they said, they're holding them against a fictitious enemy right at the border of Russia. So I'm sure it's very fictitious. Well, Sergei Lavrov, who is the person just right under Vladimir Putin in Russia, he is the person that is his right-hand man, so to speak. He represents Vladimir Putin just like you will see the Secretary of State represent the president. That's his job in Russia. Well, his comment was that he hopes NATO has enough sense to not start World War III because they're doing a great job of provoking people. And then President Putin offered one warning. He said if someone attacks Russia, now he said that Russia will not attack with a nuclear weapon. They will not be the first one to strike. But if someone attacks Russia, his comments were that all Russians will go to heaven as martyrs. But whoever attacks Russia will not have time to repent. Now think about that, because Pastor shows in Revelations, as it was shown, there will be a 1 hour burning. And Russia is very perturbed right now. Remember what Russia said, if you wake up the bear, you'll have to deal with the bear. Well, the bear is starting to growl. But watch this U.S. dollar, watch this control of the dollar, and watch China and Russia trying to get away from this dollar is a huge part of the pressure that's being put on them at this time. At this time, if we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hey, we got a crowd here today. Warm and beautiful. Praise Yahweh. We're all yours, Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. I sure hope you got those last words of that guy that just spoke on the news. You won't have time to repent, he says. If you don't, I'll add a little bit to that. If you don't believe this now, I think you'll suffer the heat, too. The evidence that Yahweh has given us, it's extreme. I got to tell you this. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'll bring more on this later, but Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger, I had that book, had it marked and tagged, and was using it. E.W. Bullinger published this book in Europe in 1894. But, of course, it didn't reach America at that time. The beautiful part about it is, the book was taken by another publishing company, and in Grand Rapids, the Cargill Publishing Company. Get this date. You might ought to write this down. You probably can't remember it. 1967. 1967. The year Yahweh brought me to Abilene, 1967. what we're seeing today, we're seeing, first off, Yahweh uses this gematria to prove his work and show that it was inspired every step of the way. It would be most ridiculous if the prophet's writings were proven untrue. You can't do it. You can't prove their work untrue. That's the thing that stands out about Yahweh's work. And if you try, you're wasting your time. You could be studying to prove it true, which it's easy done, you know. I mean, Yahweh told you when the bomb was going to be invented that would darken the sun, the generation. He tells you in Scripture, lo and behold, we came through without any electricity, any water. People still don't believe that. But I was raised in a house without water, electricity, sewer, the nearest bathroom. It wasn't a bathroom, bathtub that we use that the boys set outside the house. It'll wake you up, I'll tell you, when you bathe in cold water with a wind blowing from the north in the wintertime. But that's the way I was raised. We didn't have water heaters. We didn't have water in the house. The nearest John, outdoor John, was about 50 yards away from the house. Now that was in my lifetime, and a lot of people was raised like that. There's a lot of people still like that in the world. Even in the United States, there's people that live without bathrooms, electricity, and so forth. All of this took place in this generation when Yahweh said knowledge would be increased. Now that's, you'd be pretty stupid. You people listening to me out there, you need to really wake up, because your Christianity is not teaching the laws of Yahweh. They're not teaching salvation. They're not even teaching you how to be saved from this nuclear war that's coming. The house of Yahweh is the only ones on the face of the earth that's teaching this. And the prophecies are true, 100%. I proved that to you before gematria came along. But the gematria is backing up now, after years, what was written in 1976 and even done before that. And it shows it. Well, what we're seeing today in this generation, if everyone would read, put it on your list to read, study Leviticus and Deuteronomy, this will help me a lot. The priest, the subject of the priest of Yahweh, it's a long subject. And before I'd get to the end of it, you'd forget it, what I started at the beginning. But I think you can do it if you'll just try, and I'll bring you bits and pieces of it along. But the first off, if you can get it in your mind, the stiff-necked and rebellious people that he brought out of Israel, the 12 tribes, they were God worshipers, just like Cain. They were Coptic Catholic religion. They're supposed to put all of that behind them, all that God worship behind them, but they didn't. Anyone can read Leviticus 18 from the start, and he tells you, don't go back to these gods in the first few verses there. And then he tells you what causes diseases, what causes confusion. And this is what we're dealing with right now. And the longer from that time period, he says, you do this and you're going to perish. He called it God worship. This is what the gods are leading you to do. And if you turn to this kind of activities that he gives there in that chapter, he says, you're going to perish. Well, they turn from it. And 1 Samuel 8 shows they went right back to worshiping the gods of Egypt. This was the 12 tribes that controlled the whole world now from the Vatican. When the United States was discovered, and the Vatican set up the government here, they fixed it to where they could control it with the dollar. Now, I've asked the great Kohan Eliahaller Hawkins to bring the information on the petrodollar and show how these sanctions can be done and enforced. They put the squeeze on them. Well, this comes from this group that he brought out of Egypt. Yada, they hold the law. They have their hands on the neck of every nation on earth. And remember that scripture when you see what they're doing to these nations and what is causing the trouble between United States and Russia, China, and watch the confusion, because there's no answers to the problems they create. If you saw the news, I don't know if you saw the news or not, but China, I'd like to bring this to your attention. China is going to create, got it all planned out, how to do it, a moon, their own moon that will give light on their city to save them electric bill. Well, this sounds well, I know, to everyone, and everyone is going to get behind China now and do the same thing and send their spies and buy a moon or buy the technology. And Ben, this is such a great idea, right? Their minds are so confused right now, they forget what's growing their crops and how the crops grow, and that the moon governs this. The moon governs the planting seasons and the harvest time and how much you can harvest and when to plant, when to harvest, when to sow, when to harvest. All of these things. And of course, if you add artificial moons, you're going to block the real benefits that's coming from that. Now, every scientist should know that. You know, they can't be that much fool. They can't be that foolish not to know that if they put moons up there in place of what Yahweh has set there for man, they'll do just like they did to their own bodies when they started eating things that Yahweh says is unclean, don't eat them, started practicing things that he said, if you do this now, you're going to put things in your body, dying you will die, you're going to have all these diseases that Yahweh promised he would take away from us when we left Egypt. Yahweh's promise was that if you do these laws, then this sickness will disappear. I'll take all of these off of you. Here's the way I'm going to do it. Keep these laws. Well, of course, they rejected the laws. So here comes what he promised in Leviticus 18, the confusion. Doctors have taken the place of your priest. The priest, when Yahweh said, I'll take all these away from you, he meant that. All of them. I'll take all these sickness and diseases away from you. Well, of course, they rejected his law, so here come the sickness and disease. So Yahweh said, here's the next thing that you'll have to do. And he tells the priest to do what I hope we never have to do once our bodies are changed. I hope we never have to go and perform these laws, but you need to see them and learn them and see what the priests have to do. Our priests are doing the same thing. The doctors, that is the Vatican, like the petrodollar, the Vatican has drugs sewed up as you find in Revelation 17. Pharmaceuticals, they own the pharmaceuticals, they own the schools, they have their hands on the neck of every individual. Now, if you saw the part on the drugs, you can see what this is. It's big money. So the priest that should have been practicing Yahweh's laws, they have taken the place. They call them doctors now. You get sick, you go to the priest, he'll tell you what to do. You get sick today, and you're told, go to the doctor. And of course, people in the know will tell you, don't go to the doctors. They will give you this, this, and this, and they publish it on television. I'm just quoting to you what is news on the news and what other doctors have written and scientists have written. When you take these things for heart trouble, your heart will get worse, not better. If you take it for blood pressure, your blood pressure will get worse, not better. Well, why are they giving it to you? Money. Just like the woman said, giving you the news 20 minutes ago. And it's full of it. The news is full of it if you just pay attention. But the priest were told what to do with each of these diseases. Their method was quarantine, fasting, cleansing, taking cleanses. Even Yahshua taught that even in his day. He was still saying, go to the priest and cleanse. Get your cleanses. The diseases brought about the confusion. And, of course, other priests took the jobs of politics and setting laws and so forth. Now, this all come from the Vatican and setting up this country right now. The lawmakers that we see on the Supreme Court, you know what we're facing there, surely. But the problems assigned to the priest in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they're taking now. They're governing the people, not according to Yahweh's laws, but according to the laws that they left behind in Egypt and supposedly left behind, but did not leave behind, and now are ruling from Rome. When you see this about the petrodollar, you'll understand. But it'll be in detail so you can have the information and see how the Vatican, who we're striving to be like, that's what Revelation 13 says. And remember, Revelation 13:10 says, herein now is also the faith of Yahweh being preached. The faith. The faith, the system of religion, the system of life, the tree of life will be given at that same time. But in Revelation 13, we have the U.S. saying, let us be like the first beast. Keep that in mind now, what I just said, because we're going into the news here again in just a minute. In Daniel, we're shown a prophecy here of what Yehuda covered today over in Isaiah. But it ends with, here in 11, Revelation, I mean Daniel 11:39, that they will divide the land for gain. Well, this is what we're seeing today. They divide the land for gain. If you look at Isaiah 9, this is a scripture that Yehuda corrected today. What makes the difference in Yehuda and the scholars? They see the many different ways that a word can be translated, but they don't have the background of the plan of Yahweh, which from the beginning of meeting David Verner till he was full-time in the work, we were talking Scripture. I never talk anything else with anybody. It's just Scripture. That's it. And, of course, he absorbed it, and he knew some about the Scriptures. And so he learned really, really quickly. And with the knowledge he had, he became a great servant in the house. But he knows the background so he can get this authoritative books and go through them and see and put it together. And it fits the other prophets' writings and what they're bringing out in the same subject, because it's written here a little and there a little. But this child, notice, is born to us, and a son is given, meaning that child became a son of Yahweh. He was the first born into the Yahweh family and sits at the right hand of Yahweh right now as high priest over the house of Yahweh. Yes. On his shoulders is the government that you see from Rome that's stretched out all over the world. They're sanctioning people using the force of Nimrod, the Nimrod system. They use the war and fighting, which is the Nimrod system of Terah, to get their ways, to try to overcome their fellow men, who they call enemies. You see the word counselor there, and he's a wonderful counselor, as you can see from the prophecies and then the inspiration that leads to, as is shown in the Gematria today. 1967, this book came out and started me to working on the number in Scripture, and I'd used in the Mark of the Beast. It was a little later that Shaul and I went to, I believe it was San Angelo, to hear a group of the college in Israel that had taken the same knowledge of number and Scripture, and they called it the Bible codes, hidden Bible codes. We went there and talked to them, and we also bought the book, but it's basically the same thing, but they put it together like we're doing to prove certain things, it doesn't help as much as knowing what Bullinger put out. But Bullinger, if you think about this time period, it started in 1895, I believe, 1895 in England, and look at the years it took to get here. But it got here just on time, 1967, to be used in this work. Now, if you know, you could say, well, that's a coincidence, but things don't just happen in the work of Yahweh. Things are inspired to be brought about to give to his people, just like the book of Yahweh. From 1967 to 1987, the book of Yahweh itself was put out. Anyway, this son, and he's a counselor. That is, he's a mediator. And in studying his work, you know, you can see that he brought forth the laws to the 12 disciples. They're the ones that did the work of Yahweh. That was his family. And he said, that is my family. Who is my family? These that are doing the work of Yahweh. They're my family. My brothers, my sisters, my mother, all. If you go over to Revelation 17 now, Revelation 17. There's a sermon coming on this too, but I want to show you this right here in chapter 17, 14. 17 verse 1, there came to me one of the seven Malachim. These are the seven works. The seven works of Yahweh are shown here, and you can understand that by reading the mark of the beast. And then in verse 14, we see that he will make war with the Lamb. Make war. He's doing that right now. He's in hopes. Satan is the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church, as your scripture shows. Satan owns these people, as is shown in 1 Yochanan 4, verse 7, 8, and 10. He owns these people. Yochanan 8:44 said, "You will do what Satan tells you to do. Whatever she tells you to do, that's what you're going to do." Now, you're a fool if you don't believe this. Yahweh tells you not one of these is going to fail. Not one. The prophecies, the laws, they're not going to fail. And Yeshua said that too. He said, unless heaven and earth can pass away, unless you can destroy both heaven and earth, unless Satan can destroy both heaven and earth, these laws, even the smallest yod and tittle, are not going to pass from this law. They're all going to be fulfilled. And this is what it will erase sickness and disease, erase confusion. In 1714, that's against the Lamb. If you go back to chapter 9 now of Daniel, he tells you about this Lamb. And this is the prophecy that we're facing today right here. It shows you, it starts off from the beginning here. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. Well, 70 weeks is weeks, but that, if you knew the scriptures, you know this is weeks of years. Other people get this too. It's like they get this as years, but they don't know the rest of the scriptures that go with this, so it doesn't make any sense to them. The Amplified Bible says 70 weeks of years or 490 years. 70 weeks of years or 490 years is the way they have it. So they know that this is referring to years. 490 years are determined, and this is cut up into activities. As certain years, so-and-so takes place, certain a number of other years, another event takes place, that is prophesied in other places. I also brought this out in the Mark of the Beast, but upon the city, that is the city of holiness. That's David has brought this out too. It's not the place, it's not the buildings. That's not Yahweh's silly city. It's where the holy people kept the feast. They came together. City means gathering. It dates way back into Hebrew and what it means in Scripture. They gathered together in the promotion, the mountain, the promotion of Yahweh's, where Yahweh teaches his laws and his prophecies, and meets with his people. So the city, to finish transgression, get rid of transgression. That's how long it's going to take, and it's not going to be accomplished in 490 years, just straight down the row, but in cut up pieces, cut up activities, different activities taking place. And when the last activity, Yahweh says, yes, it's a must. It is a must that this be accomplished in order to make an end of transgressions, to finish the transgressions, make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for us, pay the death penalty for us, for iniquity. That's doing away with the laws. We all do that. We've all done it. We've pushed aside the law, knowing that it is the law, and we have gone and done things, knowing that we shouldn't have done it. Then we feel real guilty, and we start repenting. The thing that Yahweh wants you to do is like Yosef and say no and run from it. That's what he wants you to become. Abraham, Isaac, and Yosef are held up as examples for you. Everlasting righteousness to bring in everlasting righteousness. Righteousness, that's Yahweh's laws, keeping Yahweh's laws. So we know when this thing is finished, the laws of Yahweh, there'll be no more deception, at least for 1,000 years. Then it'll be turned loose for 100 years, and then the end of sin completely. That's the last part of this chapter here, and the destructions that is going to take place. The righteousness, everlasting righteousness now, it won't end after this, to seal up the visions of the prophecy and to the everything that's prophesied is going to take place as Yahshua himself said, and to anoint the holiest of the holy people. Well, you're the first that's going to be anointed, Yahweh shows. Anoint the first, the holiest of the holy people. That comes with the resurrection that is shown in chapter 12. Chapter 12. Let me, I better read this whole thing. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, will be 70 weeks. So you see how he cuts this up. And that, by the way, I've got it in the book, The Mark of the Beast, the exact time from the time that was given until the time it was done, and it came out exactly, even to trouble, and then 70 weeks and 62 weeks. I lost my place here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince. Now notice he's called a Prince, to Messiah the Prince, and will be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets will be rebuilt again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. He was. All of this has come to pass. He cut off without a successor, and the people of the Prince that will come will destroy the city. Now here's another Prince. The people of the Prince that destroys the city is the Prince of Demons that they accused Yahshua of following and getting his power from. The sanctuary will destroy the city and the sanctuary that was in 70 AY, moved the sanctuary to Rome, burnt the city to the ground, destroyed the buildings, plowed the land to where you couldn't tell that a city had been there, and nor the temple, and the sanctuary, and its end will be with a flood unto the end that Yahshua talked about and the prophets talked about, the end of burning or desolation, destruction. So he tells you all these things right here, and then he goes into the covenant with Rabin. Now that is what is in the news big time right now, is the last 3.5 years of that covenant. This covenant, listen closely, in 1995, that was 2 years after the signing. It was signed in 93. In 1995, Congress reached a compromise on the issue of Jerusalem. Congress reached a compromise on the issue of Jerusalem. Trump is posed to end it. That was 20-something years ago. December 6th, 2017, 10 days before he was assassinated in Tel Aviv, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin gave a speech in Washington about the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the heart of the Jewish people and a deep source of our pride, Rabin said in an event recognizing the 3,000th year of the city's existence. He says, In Israel, we all agree on one issue, the wholesomeness of Jerusalem. For as Jerusalem is not subject to compromise, and there is no peace without Jerusalem. The speech was given October 25, if you want to jot it down, 1995. On November 4th, a far-right student fatally shot him dead. We got pictures of that, by the way, if you need it, to go with it. Shaul and I were there and took pictures on the site for future teaching, of course. The evening before his speech, the Congress of the United States passed a law echoing Rabin's assertions about the city. The bill was not signed into law by then President Bill Clinton. Remember, Bill Clinton was the one that confirmed this agreement, but then they got to arguing back and forth about this. It took forth immediately, and the confusion set in. And then Bill Clinton then, the bill was not signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton. Clinton had made an early effort to craft a new peace agreement, never came through, in the Middle East, foregoing the Oslo Accord between Israel and the Palestinians, signed in 1993. He tried this Oslo Accord... was the moving of the embassy, the American embassy, from Tel Aviv, where we also have land, by the way. They gave us 10 acres there, too. That was, was that the same time they gave us the land in Abilene?
Earlier.
Another trip?
Yes.
Okay, another trip. Shaul is also my encyclopedia writer, my history writer. The bill was not signed into law by the then President Bill Clinton, foregoing his wanting to fix his own but leave out the Oslo Accord, because that is what the big argument was about. And the Oslo Accord was the moving of the embassy, which showed he was doing favors. They would be doing favors for Israel, but not the Palestinians, who outnumbered Israel big time. The bill became law after Clinton declined to sign it for a 10-day period while Congress was in session. George W. Bush, yes, he came and went. Barack Obama came and went, all postponed the embassy move, all of them. This was the holdup. All of them postponed the embassy move every 6 months for each of the 22 years since the law was enacted. All of these presidents kept postponing this because they feared starting a war that would lead from the Palestinians, which they're not worried about, but lead to deeper and more stronger nations and more aggressive nations like China, Iran, and Russia. It was on the news, hopefully be shown this next week. It was on the news this morning, 6 a.m., that China is far above us in technology, way, way out. And they showed how China could actually destroy our total nuclear system from China. They have this technology, and we know it. Well, of course, the United States is striving to get this technology. I mean, some of them have the same spies. You know, China pays them, and the United States paying them too. So they can get money from both directions. If they catch them doing it, they wind up dead. But you know, but they have to be true wherever they are to what, you know, you belong to whatever servants you obey. Well, that's Satan's way, as we're shown in Scripture. Since the law was enacted 22 years ago, now 22 years ago, passing the law allowed Congress to demonstrate commitment to the issue while not forcing the president to act on it. You see all the complication that's in this right here? And the people that have the strings and they're trying to pull it and the other one's trying to pull back. This goes on constantly with thousands of our politicians who are mostly Catholic, that is trying to bring through what the Vatican desires, and that is for all nations, Revelation 13, all nations to be like the first beast. This is what it's striving for. All these things you see on the news right now, that's what it's for. Over the course of time in politics, these are your priests that I just got through telling you about now. Over the course of time, they call it politics. This was the priesthood set up and shown in Genesis 10 that would be set up. Then it was set up under Moshe. Moshe gave them the right way first, and they rejected it. So Yahweh said, let them go their way. And this is what you'll have to do. Well, Yahweh's plan was going to be carried out no matter which way they went. But he gave them the opportunity to have peace. They went the other way, and that was thousands of years ago now. And as Daniel 8 says, in the last days of these kingdoms, these four kingdoms, when sin has reached its peak, In the minds, in the brains of everyone alive right now, we have a build-up that I know that Yahweh had to inspire this for certain people that he was calling into this work to not be affected in some ways. If you remember, the prophet Jeremiah said that if Yahweh hadn't left us a remnant, we would have all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Get this letter that I just wrote. I think Binya will probably have it out this week. Not just Binya, the whole crew. We have a big crew working in printing. But get this letter, because it shows you the complications, the complicated system, how sin has built, and it's causing other things, but it's causing confusion. big time, to where they can't think ahead, like building a moon, to knock out the moon that's in the sky that Yahweh gave us to raise our food, to totally bypass that. Don't even think about that. You know, don't think of the laws that go with it. This is some of the confusion. Build bigger weapons. Now, you know, that's like one gang had knives, so the other gang said, well, let's build some bigger knives. Let's call them swords. See, well, that'll certainly put us ahead. And like these people don't have sense enough to look at the sword and build another sword. Well, this is a confusion you see today, but their technology is reached into the heavens, and their brains have gone the other way, and you've got like a bunch of, I said when I was 12 years old, I was an idiot, and I finally grew out of it, but I think it was a few years. Sometimes I still feel like an idiot, some of the things I do, but these scriptures are factual. And Yahweh, He's the one that governed the ones He called. So His plan, in spite of what took place with Moshe and them going, rejecting His laws, Yahweh said, you've got to do this, you've got to let them do this, but you do this and bring this work on forward. Well, in Abilene, you saw the answer. And then after the flood, where, as you know, that's where the ark landed, and it started again in Abilene, Israel, right where we were standing, I think. I think we were standing on that very spot where the ark landed. And I think if certain things was done, we could probably might find pieces of it. That's been years and years. If you understand how Yahweh, I hate to take time for this, but if you understand how Yahweh made the earth, He actually made the earth to clean itself up, take care of filth. That's what screw worms are for. That's what smaller bugs than screw worms. But I was telling someone yesterday about a wood lizard. A wood lizard, he eats mesquite bugs. Mesquite bugs will not bother a green, healthy mesquite tree, but if a limb falls to the ground or the tree gets blown down and starts to die, mesquite bugs are really available. And I said, well, how would it be that they could get to a limb so fast, and you cut some firewood out of mesquite wood? And then in a little while, you'll hear, if you listen closely, you can hear those mesquite bugs boring holes in that wood. Where'd they come from? Did you see them flying around? No. No. But the wood lizard eats mesquite bugs. The eggs, I call it eggs. It's not an egg. It's a microorganism that comes from this mesquite bug. When it dies, or when it's eaten by a wood lizard, it doesn't disappear. It doesn't deteriorate. It stays alive. The wood lizard deposits it here and there, wherever he plays, whatever he eats, whatever eats him, like a cat or a dog or something, anything, then those little microorganisms stay alive. And they're on the limb, probably. You probably breathe them. But they're certainly on the limbs of the trees, but they don't eat the green tree. They don't eat the healthy tree. But if it dies, they readily come to life. The minute that tree dies, they readily come to life and they start eating and growing. Now, you couldn't see it You couldn't see these without a micro, something that would enlarge them, you know, 2,000 times or more. But they're there eating and becoming a mesquite bug that gets about maybe an inch long and can actually fly. And when it dies, wherever it dies, it leaves his evidence that cleans up the earth. I don't know what else he cleans up besides mesquite logs or mesquites that die, this is the complicated body that we have. So when you sin, Yahweh said, don't sin, because this mesquite bug is going to go into your body. It doesn't say that, but this is a comparison, of course, that this mesquite bug, these microorganisms, is going to go into your body, and they're going to start causing death. And then over the years, this thousands of years, Daniel said that sin will reach its peak in this time period right now that we're in. This is the generation of the nuclear bomb. And Daniel said in this generation, the quartet, in the last days of the quartet, when the quartet is formed, that was 2002, I think, or 92, I can't remember, 2002 maybe, somewhere along that. Anyway, it was formed, it was spoken of by Daniel, but it wasn't formed until these last days, and at that time, in that generation, sin would reach its peak. Now, that's getting pretty precise with the prophecies. But this sin buildup is what I want you to see. All of these mesquite bugs, if you want to call them that, from thousands of years ago, have multiplied in the human body year by year by year by year by year. And every sin makes them multiply more, get bigger, get stronger, get different, develop muscles, big muscles, powerful equipment to eat the wood, eat the body, if that makes any sense to you, the scenario there. Well, in 2012, he praised a pro-Mitt Romney. This is Donald Trump. He praised a pro-Mitt Romney ad that supported then candidate Romney's declaration that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. As Trump campaigned, now this wasn't, he didn't see this and hear Romney and say, hey, I'm going to build the temple or I'm going to move the embassy. No, these orders were in progress long before that. And the Catholic Church went there. They sent workers. I remember articles years ago where the Catholic Church is sending articles, sending men there, and they would have meetings and they'd say, this is law. It was signed by the President of the United States. It was signed by Rabin. We want this to take place. This was the Vatican sending priests to Israel. Well, Trump is the one they chose. He got interested in Romney's speech. Well, that might have stirred his interest, but his plan was already lined out. It's been lined out for years. Four presidents, I just told you, read to you. Four presidents have come and gone. There are three presidents. Clinton, Bush, anyway. Trump. As Trump campaigned for president, he made the same pronouncement in an interview with CNN on March 2016. He said that he would not only recognize Jerusalem as the capital. Why did he say that? That's his job. That's the commission given to him to do. I will not forget your words, he said. Anybody remember that? Hold up your hand. I will not forget your words. That's what he said. Remember? The Pope. He said it to the Pope. Trump said it to the Pope. Well, he told CNN on March 2016, he said that he would not only recognize Jerusalem as the capital, but also move the embassy, something he would do fairly quickly. It was a setup. Now, time is up, but I'd like to get one more little bit in to hear so you can remember it. The opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem will close doors to America's key role in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They're thinking now they got it won, and that the United States will be involved. But this is May 14th, 2018, the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem. Since signing the Oslo Accord in 1993, the United States has been the primary negotiator between Israeli and Palestinian. Bill Clinton came closest to ending the conflict during a failed Camp David summit between Yasser Arafat and Yehud Barak in 2000. George Bush led the Annapolis process in 2007 to 2008, failed to yield results, and some recently under Barack Obama, Secretary of State John Kerry spearheaded an effort in 2013 and 14, which also crashed and burned. In every one of these talks, other countries played an important role supporting the Norwegians hosted the secret dialogue that led the initial breakthrough in 1993 and set the terms for future negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. The Arab state, especially Egypt and Jordan, but also increasingly Saudi Arabia, have been brought to give the Palestinians greater political cover while offering initiatives to the Israelis in the form of a full normalizing with the Arab world. The international community has provided humanitarian, economic, and political support through the Middle East Quartet. The Middle East Quartet, which comprises the United States, the United Nations, the European Union, and Russia. But the United States has always been the irreplaceable player. If you want a scripture for that, it's Revelations 13. Revelations 13, let us be like the first beast. The argument right now is the plans right now shown in prophecy is to bring pressure on these nations that are not like the first beast. They don't want our form of democracy. This is what the Vatican calls it. They don't want our form of democracy. They want their form of what they call democracy. And they say it's a more fairer form than what the United States has, because the lawmakers, which is the Vatican, have the upper hand in the form of democracy that we have here in the United States. They pass any kind of laws that they want, and they still call it democracy. They got it right now to where it's been this way for years. They set it up in the beginning when the United States, when the Americas were discovered. The Vatican quickly moved in, started killing those who would not accept come to their schools that they set up. They also set up courts of so-called justice The prophet says there is no justice in them. Isaiah 59, there is no justice in these laws that are passing. Well, that's what the nations are looking at that don't want this democracy. They're saying this democracy is unfair. You pass the laws and you tell us to obey those laws. You have so many laws that there's no way you can keep these laws. You keep one law, you break another one. We learned that when I was on the police department. That was one of the first things they taught. You can't enforce every law. It takes experts now to figure out what category a law stands. And, of course, to try to enforce one law, you would be breaking another law with someone else. So what we had to concentrate on was the city's laws. The city's laws in Abilene. We'd concentrate on just the city laws. Forget about this other, they said. But and of course, that's what we did. We had laws in Abilene, too, that, like, you can't keep a crowing rooster. That's still on the books. Can't keep a crowing rooster in Abilene. Yeah. Well, these are the little laws that somebody passed, you know, because his mother was being woke up and he was a judge. And his mother was hating them stinking chickens next door. So, well, this is the way these laws are passed, see? Well, Yahweh's laws benefit everyone. They're the same for everyone. And that's the great difference. Right. And that's the only thing that will bring peace. His laws will bring perfect peace. Remember that. That's what the house of Yahweh was created for. Yahweh himself created his house. He watched it for years before he ever put it here on earth. Now he's watching both places. But he's seeing it played out. The earth and the heavens will not be able to destroy them. Yahweh shows that he can stop it. He can actually put a stop to it. They'll be cut short, he says, in order to save you. Now, you're the number one thing on his menu to protect. He shows that in Zechariah, that he's encamped about his house. He's not going to allow it to be destroyed this time. His work will not be destroyed. I'm telling you, stay close to his house. I love you. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services next to the next speaker.